This is Pancake Town, the podcast, and I'm Emily.
I'm Michelle.
And we have a special guest this week, Amber Favorite from A Favorite Design.
Hi, guys.
We are in Amber's studio, hence the train noise. Mm-hmm. So periodically through this episode, we may pause to allow the train to do its thing. And then we'll talk again. It'll be great.
It's like our most Chicago-y episode.
I know, I do feel like, because when I thought about it at first, I thought, well, no one cares. Like, the train is not a novel, interesting thing to people.
Right.
But then I was like, wait, there's people that don't live in Chicago that listen to this right. podcast that are probably like, what's happening? Why is there a train outside her window?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can hear it coming. Like, I have the anticipation of, like, I'm ready for it. Here it comes. Yes. You can hear it, like, off in the distance.
It's convenient, but loud.
Actually, later, when we record again, it probably won't be as often.
No, it won't be.
Because it'll
be like,
later
every 10 minutes or 15. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're excited to be here talking to you, because you're an awesome business person.
I'm excited to have you guys.
And you also are, like, listen to the podcast, which is cool.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support. I've talked about Amber a couple times.
Yeah.
In past episodes.
We have. We've talked about you without telling you. We're going to talk about you.
But you guys are so kind. It's really, it's so nice.
I'm always like, here's an example of something great. Her name's Amber. She owns a business that you should all emulate.
It's been really nice.
Well,
so thank you.
It's well deserved. Your studio's amazing.
I love the
organization alongside the, like, stuff.
Chaos, yes.
Yeah, like, there's so much stuff.
Me in a nutshell.
But it's organized.
Yeah.
It's very satisfying.
I don't know. I've put a lot of effort into making it comfortable.
Yes.
It's
definitely very comfortable.
A space that I want to come to work in every day.
Yes.
And that feels good.
Well, yeah. I think one of the things I talked about when I mentioned you in a past episode was, like, the sheer volume of product that you have at this point.
Yes.
Where I'm always just so amazed at, like, the, like, how large your card and product line is. And then I'm like, well, that's why everything has to be organized.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, if you have hundreds of cards, how on earth would you deal with that kind of inventory?
Yeah.
If you were disorganized,
it would
be a nightmare.
And some days, even with the organization,
it still is.
It's
a nightmare. Life is a nightmare. So when did you start business? How long have you been in business?
So in 2003, I started a small line that was just my typewriter cards.
Yes.
So it was me typing
your typewriter
on my antique typewriter.
Oh my god.
And I, at the time I worked at Paperboy.
Yes.
And Ted let us sell stuff
for
profit.
I feel like there's several people who, like, worked at Paperboy. And
yes.
It's kind of similar to PaperSource, where, like,
they
the graduates of those businesses become their own, like, become business owners.
There's quite
and,
a
like,
few.
Own their own. Yeah.
It's
so
amazing.
Awesome.
I also, like, love the, being able to tell a story, like, I had this retail job. But I was making stuff, and I was allowed, because that's how I started, too.
Yeah.
They let me sell stuff at the boutique.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you still have a shitty retail job, we all used to have shitty retail jobs that actually launched our
businesses. Yes.
Yeah.
And they, like, teach you about, like, how a business runs.
Yeah.
You know, when you're
totally.
20 or whatever, you're just like, I don't, like, the idea of running your own business is... There's not specifics in your brain about it.
Right.
You're just like, well, how would I even go about that? What does that involve? And then you go and have a job at a retail store, and you're like, oh, customers can be shitty, and people get injured in your store, and the bills need
There's
to get paid.
To it.
And, you know, and then it kind of just, like, eases you into, like, and then selling your stuff, but having, like, no stake in it.
Right.
Like, selling your stuff at a store that is not your store, and you literally have no, it's almost no risk. It's just like, does everybody think this is shitty? Should I stop doing this?
And that's the thing. Like, I got to test out.
Yeah.
Like,
you had to see what
in a
stuff
store.
Worked. In
an
actual store.
Like, other people have to start out, like, taking their stuff to events, craft shows and stuff. And that's you got to start directly in a store, which is my experience also.
I was amazed at what people bought and were responding to. So it definitely grew from there.
So when did you start printing? Like,
so
when did you
I got a GoCo in 2004.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. And that was a game changer.
I've been there, done that.
And then in 2005, I took my first letterpress class. Nice. And it was...
life-changing.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck GoCo.
Yes. I was volunteering at the Book and Paper Center in Chicago, like, every moment I had.
Yeah.
So I would volunteer one day off.
Like, I will clean the presses, whatever you need me to do.
Sort type. Oh, my God. Yeah. The stupid... ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. The shitty job
no one wants to do. Yes. Yeah. So... they were really generous, and every hour you volunteered, you got an hour of press
time. That's awesome. Is that still the case? Do you
know? They don't do community classes at all anymore. Yeah. So I was totally gung ho, and then my instructor actually hired me to print for her in her shop.
Nice.
And let me use her presses.
Nice. Perfect.
So then I started trading
her. To do stuff. Yes. And, like, you didn't have to find a press or buy a press or have a space.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was maybe 2005 or 6? 2006. Yeah. And then I did the very first Renegade. So I had a goal. And I was like, okay.
I'm gonna print
20 cards, and it's gonna be typewriter cards, and so.
Do you have any designs from that initial launch that you still make?
Most of them have been discontinued. I think there's three
that's awesome.
People still buy.
That's pretty awesome.
It's crazy, right?
Like that's cool to and have that long.
At the show, people started asking me, stores. I didn't realize stores. I mean, it was the first Renegade ever. Nobody knew what to expect.
Yeah, how did you even find out that it was happening?
Molly from La Familia Green. Okay. I worked with her.
How did she find out?
I had no idea. She was doing DIY and shows. So she was kind of in the circuit. And she was like, do you want to split a booth? Let's split a booth.
Nice.
And I was like, okay.
What am I gonna do?
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But
well, now and both of you are still. Yeah, so she's been doing it for that long.
Yeah.
Too.
We're asking, do you wholesale? Will you wholesale?
And you're like,
I want these cards. And I was like, shit, I only get half of what.
Yep, I remember feeling like that. Like, who does this? This is stupid. Why would you do this?
Which I knew, working at Paperboy. Yeah.
And then you're like, obviously this is a thing.
And so I was like, I need to kind of rethink things. How can I streamline my printing?
Do you need to print so many more?
Yeah.
Do you need to,
So I just started bulking up on my printing. And then I opened an Etsy shop in 2007. That was my
website. I feel like our timeline is really close and similar. I opened my Etsy shop in 2007.
The glory days.
And was just like, what's gonna happen? And then it was like, oh shit, I post something and immediately 7 people buy it.
Yes.
And I was like, ooh, the internet's amazing.
It was total magic.
And then I feel like that gave me a very false sense of confidence where I was like, I'm gonna be a millionaire. Right? That's Etsy.
I feel like I missed out on
the glory days.
Actually, Etsy is my first topic that I wrote down. So
to talk to.
But so I opened my Etsy shop in 2006, the summer or something.
Yeah.
And I had to borrow a digital camera, a really shitty digital camera.
Yeah.
And I'm still bad at photography. So my photos sucked. The jewelry itself was, fine for the time. It's what was in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not in now, but it was in now. And, but I just, I didn't do it well enough.
Yeah.
I totally missed out on doing Etsy right.
Yeah, I got I don't know. There was a point where only for maybe 2 years, Etsy was paying my bills.
It was awesome.
Etsy allowed me to get my first studio.
Right.
Because
right.
I got to a point where I was my accountant father was how much more money would you have to make in a month to legitimize having this studio space mm-hmm. outside of your house. And I was like, oh, well, if I'm making X amount in a month on Etsy and I have three custom clients, then, like, yeah, I could see just if I just doubled my Etsy sale. Like,
right.
That
right.
seems totally reasonable because, like, every time I post something, everyone's like, yay, let's put this on a blog. And, like, that, and then that fed the fire. And so I was like, I'm going to go get a studio space like a lunatic. And then that just snowballed. Like, I didn't know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
But that, and then that turned into, like, now I have the studio space, and now I'm, like, way more legit to people.
I had a kind of a perfect storm with Etsy, because the first week, you know, things were quiet, whatever, but I sent out an email to everybody I knew that was like, I'm launching this
I'm buying things for me, please!
And, you know, I had a few sales from friends, and I was like, yay! And then Poppy Talk posted my cards.
Poppy Talk.
And it was like getting frickin' busters.
Mine was Daily Candy. Daily Candy posted one of my prints, I can't even remember which print.
Yeah.
And like in a day had like over 100
it's
new
so
sales
amazing.
On Etsy.
Yes.
I'm still waiting for that to happen.
So, but then I've met like since that Daily Candy thing happened, I have very few things since then that are that like weird and like a bubble burst, and I was like, oh crap.
I
oh, I guess
lucked
the science
out.
Sponge. I was on the science sponge once, and that was a creepy explosion of, and that was like a post of my apartment. Like that wasn't even about anything I made. It had nothing to do with my studio. It wasn't my studio. It was literally my
where
apartment.
You lived. Yeah.
And
yeah.
got sales from because they were like just linked to Orange Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
It's so amazing how blogs, that's another thing that used to be so
huge and
influential.
And now not really.
No. Yeah. But
blogs
I
now
was,
are just so disingenuous.
Well, people blog now to make money.
Yes. Instead of, before it was blogging to share the cool shit you found.
Yeah. It was interesting. I don't know. But I remember 2009, I moved into this space. Because I purchased a press, and my first studio was so, like, a rat-infested building with hardly any heat. And, like, I shared a floor with six guys. We all had studios. And there was a band that smoked pot constantly. It was over at Nelson and Rockwell. So right by the new Metropolitan Brewery, which is gorgeous.
Okay.
But the building actually burned down a few years after it it was so terrible. But when I moved in here, I was featured on an Etsy email.
Yeah.
And oh, holy crap. I literally bought, my computer died, and I bought a laptop from just half of a week's worth of money.
Yeah.
I was like, how is this?
Yeah,
and I
terrifying.
Just kept posting. I was sold out, but I was like, I will print more. I will work 24
I'll
hours.
I'll figure it out.
I don't care. And
at
the time, it was just me. Like, I didn't have any interns. I didn't have any helpers. It was me. And I was like, yes, just print.
Sleep later. Sleep when you die.
I'm lonely sleep. Well, the reason I was thinking about talking to you about Etsy is because you had posted recently-ish that you had gotten 1,000 sales on Etsy.
7,000.
Oh, 7,000. I wrote down 1,000.
Yeah.
That?
Yeah.
7,000. 7,000. That makes way more sense.
Which I hadn't even noticed. It
That's
was
a lot
like
of
we're
sales.
Almost to 8,000, and I didn't even notice like the 7,000. You know how they had changed the dashboard?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, I was like, "That's so amazing."
That's
so
ridiculous.
I did post it, but think about it. It's been 10 years, you know.
I just made it to 500, and part of that was cheating. It was. Do you remember?
I cheated.
There was a brief moment when Etsy had a swiper.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used it at an event because I figured out that the swipes counted as sales.
So some of your things
so like over 100 of those are from an event.
So you still
I think that's great.
I got it. Is it on Etsy is sales meaning orders or individual items?
No.
Orders.
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 Orders. orders.
So that's even more impressive.
But if you think about it, like, I'm selling a $5 product. You're selling a $40 product.
My Etsy sales suck.
They're so I think you would be amazed at how many orders I get for one card.
Which is amazing to me because of shipping. Yeah. Like, I'm always, I just don't want to go to a card store. I just can't stand the idea of
I would never buy one
store.
Card from someone. I'd be like, okay, what do I have coming up?
Yeah. I'd be like, let me add two
or
more
like,
of that.
Get some thank you cards, a box of thank you cards.
Make it worth that person's time to like walk around and pull a card out.
Yes.
Put it in a mailer.
So it's, and we actually, like, we wrap everything because we want people to feel like they're getting a little gift when they open it.
Oh my God.
So it's not like we're just throwing it in an envelope. Like, yeah. It's, and there's been a few times I'm like, we should just cut out the wrapping. Who needs this? Yeah. And I'm like, no, think about.
Yeah.
Like, people comment
brand,
on it.
Yes.
And
if they grow to expect it and you stop doing it,
right,
people will be sad.
So, and it does make me feel good thinking that, you know, you get.
Well, I mean, and you're obviously, exciting. It's not like you're making coffee mugs and then you're gift wrapping everything.
Right.
You
no.
literally make gift wrap. It's kind of, it's always when I say that too, where I'm like, if I spend a bunch of money or time or effort on like my business card, yeah, I should be doing that because guess what? I make business cards.
Do you know what the funny
they
thing
should
is?
Look nice.
I don't use gift wrap. I use Restoration Hardware catalog pages.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling
but I mean, it's part of your aesthetic.
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
For you to care what that thing is wrapped in makes sense for your business.
Yeah.
It's not like you make, you know, gummy bears. Although that'd be amazing.
That would be cool. Think of.
Let's all quit our jobs. And the three of us will go into business.
Gummy bears.
Making gummy bears. I'm sure that won't be a financial disaster. Mm-mm. We won't all be bankrupt in a month. We'd get a lot of good press out of it, though. These three dumb bitches decided to give up everything they were doing on a whim.
Why not?
And lost everything.
They lost it all.
Do you have like any like tips, tricks, strategies for Etsy that you can share? Or was it just all
I think it was just
being there at the right time and then
being there at the right time.
Well,
yeah.
Instead of what I did.
I think it was just being there at the right time. I will say though, when I have an intern helping or a helper sit down and renew like 3 items a day for a week, or even 3 days in a row, we start seeing sales.
Okay.
If we...
So not using the auto renew.
Correct. Like, physically going in and...
Michelle's like, I'm not doing that.
I've heard of that strategy.
Get Steve to do it.
I tried it.
Make Steve do it.
Yeah. And I couldn't, like, remember to do it consistently.
Yeah.
So I didn't give it a fair chance.
We,
so that is a thing. Huh?
We also, I noticed every time we reorganize our line sheet in wholesale, we'll get an order.
Really?
Which I really need to do that because we haven't had, I say that, no, we had a couple this week, but not, I feel like the wholesale has slowed down.
My Etsy wholesale has slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's okay. I converted a bunch of people to my website's wholesale, so
that's
I figured that, like...
Yeah.
We try. We send follow-up emails, like, oh, order with us. We'll give you free shipping. And
they're like, meh.
But I think...
I mean, people who are going to order on there are going to order on there.
Yes. So, yeah. I don't really know any tips. I honestly...
Just do it. That's
got an email about Valentine's, and I clicked on it, and I'm like... I think I made it to 15 pages before I saw one of mine. And I was like, how am I getting orders on Etsy?
Yeah.
I'm buried.
Oh, like, most people are buried.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
How do you
it's
get
like, how
unburied?
Yeah, how do people even find, like, and then I wonder, is it people who already know you exist and they literally
we
are looking you up
customers.
On their, like, and then does that mean that people who are, like, hardcore Etsy shoppers are like referring back to their own account, like
maybe.
They're going, oh, I want to order cards again, well, this is where I ordered it before, so I'm going to go find a favorite on Etsy again.
I
instead
know.
Of like, I would literally just type in a favorite in Google and be like, there she is, order. I wouldn't I wouldn't think to go to Etsy. But then again, I'm a person who's like, I want to give every penny to that person and not to Etsy. So yeah. Obviously I'm going to go out of my way to like have that thought, whereas most people
aren't going to do that. Do you use all your tags?
Nope.
Use all of your tags.
I don't even know what, like, to tag thing.
I mean, you can do, like, Chicago as a tag. Because people, we have Chicago in a lot of our tags. But we'll do colors, we'll do, I don't know.
Michelle doesn't care.
Well, I do care.
She doesn't want to.
And also, I don't, yeah.
She doesn't care. I think the answer is, if you put 10% effort into it, you're not going to see results. But if you put 90% effort into it, then it will. It's whether or not you decide that that's something you want to put effort into. I, on the opposite end of the spectrum, just shut down my Etsy shop. I just shut it down.
Yeah.
It's there, and it's just closed. Just, there's no items in it. It doesn't exist. I don't want to, like, delete it, because I haven't yet committed to the idea of deleting it. But it hasn't been open for 2 years.
There's a lot of makers.
The only things that were coming from me having an Etsy shop were copyright infringement issues and people asking me for customized things for $2. And I just was like, I can't handle it. Like, that's just, it's so much maintenance for no sales.
Yeah.
Like, it was just wasn't worth it. And so I'm like, I'm not going to deal with allowing my stuff to be on here and then everyone's just stealing it. And that's the only thing that's happening on the site. That seems really embarrassing. And so then I'm just like, oh, I'll just close it. I don't have time for this.
There's a lot of people that have.
But then I've every 6 months or so, I think, maybe I should open my Etsy shop again. And then I never do, which is probably good. Because I do feel like I would have to do it full on for it to not feel like a mistake.
Right.
Like, I would have to fully commit to it, and I don't think I'm ready to do that. So.
All right, so the answer is fully commit to it.
I guess so.
That's the advice for anything in life.
It is.
Fully commit to it, and you'll have better results. Yeah. Best results.
Rats.
I know. You need an intern to help you.
Steve! I mean, in some ways he is an intern, because he doesn't get paid very well.
He's an unpaid intern. That's why they call it that.
That's right.
It's for his resume.
I feel like we should add that he's
in the room.
Which is the only reason it's funny to laugh about it.
Everyone else is laughing too. Everyone else thinks we're really funny too.
Alright, I have a lot of random questions and notes. I feel like they don't totally go together, but
I think you should just do it.
I love except random
wait for the
questions
train.
Okay.
Sorry, Josh.
Something that I always like to see in interviews is someone...
What inspires you?
No, I did not write that down.
She hates that question.
Like, what your typical workday looks like, particularly for you, because you do have this amazing, like, real workspace. Like, I feel weird even calling it a studio. This is a business.
This is,
like,
your
a
office.
Real, like...
Yeah.
This show company.
It's true.
So
it depends on the day.
Be real.
So okay. Today I came in and I checked email. I was here at 8:30.
Booyah! Wow. I like it.
But I'm not always here that early.
Okay.
If I have a helper with Coco, who is amazing.
Nice.
She was coming in at 9:30, and I wanted to be ready for her.
Yeah, have stuff prepped for her.
So I came in, checked email, which I really hate doing, and I don't like to do that first thing. I usually wait because, you know, but
the bombs that may appear.
Yeah. So I made myself tea. I sat down, checked email. I printed posters
for Pancake Town.
And then I started firing back emails, reply and responding. I printed out Etsy orders. I entered orders in QuickBooks. And then I brought them. By that point, Coco was here. We talked about what her duties were for the day. I then started pulling product that was missing from the front area. So today was not a typical day because I was setting up.
You were getting ready for
retail.
You don't usually have people come interview you
on
the day.
Yeah. So I kind of worked on the retail area.
Every day I have a podcast here. Various people come and host podcast events.
Exactly. And then I vacuum the studio, which I never do.
Clean for us. Okay.
I took out the recycling, which I never do. Yeah.
Nice.
So it was just a lot of like little loose end things. Typically, it's email followed by orders, followed by hopping on press and printing.
Do you have a set date? Like, do you come in and just kind of see what the day is asking of you, or do you say like, Thursday I'm printing all day, or Friday I'm not printing at all, I'm just fulfilling orders?
I do usually on like Sundays kind of sit down and think about my week
and make a
review
plan.
Like what orders we have, like a to print list.
Yeah,
so I want to make sure I have all my supplies ordered, and I usually try to plan out like days, like okay, today's a print day, I'm gonna do print. Today I'm going to try to write a blog post and type on the typewriter or score
when
cut,
you
or fold.
This is Emily asking Amber a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
Not personal at all, but like as a designer.
Yeah.
When do you have to schedule?
It's such
designing?
A luxury now. Yes.
Like, do you have to be like, today I'm going to design?
Yeah.
Like, do you sit down and go, okay, I'm just, and when you design stuff, is it like, oh my God, I need happy birthday cards. I'm designing happy birthday cards. Or is it just like design and then if something magical happens and you're like, this could be a card or this could be wrapping paper or this could be...
That sort of ease and flow used to be the case.
Yeah.
It's not anymore.
No.
I have just notebooks and notebooks full of random ideas.
Ditto.
Some are just one word. Some are colors.
Yeah.
Some are photos from flea market of like color schemes or patterns.
I'm always like, can someone
or,
just go through this and make these into designs for me?
So, yeah, I do schedule design time.
Yeah.
It's a luxury. It does not happen every week.
Yeah.
I wish it did. And I feel like if I did, I would be more creative and have a lot more, like, designs to crank out, if that makes sense. Because, you know, the more you feed something, the more it grows. Yeah. So, instead, what has happened is I get these schedules from Paper Chase, Liberty, Paper Source, that's like, we're reviewing Mother's Day.
And then you're like, oh shit, I gotta make sure that that's...
And,
yeah.
So other
things kind of determine when you...
And shows,
and
trade shows.
Do you have a sales rep also?
I have quite a few.
With deadlines and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
So we have one sales rep. She's the only one that requires us to have certain things done at certain times.
Okay.
Valentines are always in August.
Oh my God.
It's
See?
So hard. And then, like, holiday is in May.
Yeah. Calendars are in May.
Yes, which that's hard. I've released them. I did my first calendar 2 years ago, and I released it in July. And I only did a print run of 250 because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And we sold out,
yeah.
And people were angry. And I had sales reps
that
were like, I sold this. And I was like, well, you didn't send me the order.
Yeah.
You sat on the order for 3 months. Like,
yeah.
So.
I like that people get mad about calendars.
It was really strange.
But that's like
a
thing. It's like someone's problem in life.
So
they're mad about calendars.
I'm always joking that there's no such thing as a card emergency, because we will have people like email us, I have a card emergency. I'm like,
I think that's,
no,
that's the title of the episode. There's no such thing as a card emergency.
See, we're going to start taking our notes during the podcast. Be like, now we just named it.
Yeah.
Emily and I are trying
Done.
To eliminate.
We're trying to pare down our responsibilities.
Our extra
podcast.
Work.
I like it.
Because it doesn't make us money.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
And
yet.
It does take up time. And we want to keep doing it. So we're trying to make sure that we figure out a really realistic way of.
Well.
These are our problems, not to have anything to do with Amber.
No, but as a listener.
Amber, will you interview us about
Let me
our
tell
problems?
You.
Can you interview us now?
As a listener, I appreciate that you spend so much time on the podcast, because it's great.
Well, that makes
and
me feel great.
Yeah. No.
That was genuine, in case it didn't read on the recording. If it read, it's
so, you know. And I think it's just a matter of time before you start making money on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, we just have to kind of make it something that's like, we want to keep doing it because we like doing it.
Right.
And then but if it like, starts to become this like cumbersome job that we're like, well, fuck, I have to listen to this. Every time we finish one, we're like, how long was that one? Oh, it was an hour and 45 minutes. That means we have to listen to an hour and 45 minutes. Like, we have to listen to it.
Right.
And then, like, make notes and write the description and figure out what things to pull from it to promote.
You know, I print a lot. And while I'm printing, I like to have something playing that's, like, the speed that I'm printing. And I'm a really fast printer.
Yeah.
So I almost always listen to Tim Ferriss, his podcasts, which are 2 hours long. But I listen to him at 1.5 speed. It's amazing.
Oh,
I can listen to the title of the podcast.
I've never thought about doing that.
Everybody should listen to
our episodes on 1.5 speed
it's
and see what
awesome
they think.
Awesome.
Maybe we should do that.
There's no, like...
listening back to...
Oh, yay! Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, that's totally true. I got it now.
Okay, let's figure out how to do that. Josh will tell us how to do it.
If you listen on your phone,
so that and our voices will be really high pitched, it'll be amazing.
I don't think so. I mean, his isn't.
It's not higher than.
It might be
a little bit. Yeah.
But he's kind of a slow, contemplative talker.
And you're like, get on with it, dude.
I'm like, I've got things to do.
I'm trying to get my work done today. Let's have at it, podcast.
So, yeah.
I like it. This is sort of
a good tip.
A follow-up to what your day looks like. What should you really be doing right now instead of being on our podcast?
What would you be doing right now
typically,
if we weren't here bothering you?
What would I be doing right now?
When do you leave normally? Like, when's the end of your work day?
This year has been kind of a roller coaster. So I've been spending too much time here.
Did you get in trouble?
No.
Did you get in trouble for being here too much?
No, but like the first 2 weeks in January, I kid you not, I was leaving at 8:00 at night.
What? That's not.
We got slammed with Valentine's because nobody prepares.
Yeah.
And it was, I had a new person that started, and it was like
training them.
It was crazy. Typically, I try to be home between 6 and 6:30, because you know I have a husband. And a dog.
And a life.
And I like to
spend
time with them. But yeah, I usually... So I guess usually at 5 o'clock, I'm kind of reviewing what I have to do tomorrow and getting things set. We have a very finicky paper cutter right now that's on the fritz. So I spend a lot of time in front of it trying to get it to work. So I do that a lot at the end of the day.
Paper cutters are just... Like, anybody not have a finicky paper cutter? I don't.
I rent one. It's awesome. And every time I'm on it, I'm like, someday I'll have a reliable paper.
Yeah, now that I'm at Rohner, I'm constantly like, now when I need things cut down, I can just come in early and be like, guys, can someone cut this for me? I don't know how to do it. and there's like legal shit that says I'm not allowed to.
Right.
Whoops. Like, please cut this to this size. Thank you. Here's a box. And then it's just done. And, like, it would have taken me God knows how. Or it'd be crooked or wrong or off or whatever.
It does take a lot
of time.
It's
just, like, this massive digital cutter that's just, like, boop, 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 shop.
I love that. Someday.
And then I cry, tear. Yeah. Those aren't dinky until something breaks on them, and then they're horrible. You can see how much time it's
left. Oh, we're good. Right?
Yeah, it's 37.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was concerned. I'm like,
How long is this?
I'm just gonna keep going.
Do it. Go down the list.
Okay. Don't kick the stool. I know.
You can't yell at the guest and then do the thing you yelled at the guest for.
Okay. So your favorite part of the business.
My favorite
part.
Get it? Did everybody get it? Did everybody get the pun there?
I love the whole process of designing, and then literally the first time something comes off the press, like the second color, I get so excited. I love seeing it.
She's a product.
I have that on here too, but I thought I'd ask. Did you listen to our process versus product? I did,
and I'm kind of on the fence about that because I really like creating.
We are telling people
making.
That you can't be on the fence.
Damn it.
Except for Chris, we gave Chris a pass.
He had a very valid reason
for getting a pass. You don't get a pass.
I don't get a pass.
Because you're not refurnishing refurbishing furniture.
I think I enjoy the process the most, like the designing,
the printing,
all of that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, once I start selling them a product, I'm like,
get out of here.
It's great.
Go to the store and give me money.
Although every once in a while I will work production, and while I'm working, I'm like, this is a damn good design.
I do that.
How did I think of this?
I do that times where I'm like, every once in a while I'm just like, I'm a really good designer.
Isn't that fun when that happens?
Yeah. Like I'll see some, most of the time it's with custom work where like I surprise myself with something.
Yeah.
Or like I get feedback and then that kind of validates
right.
what I've done instead of me being like, I think this is amazing. Maybe it's not. And then they're like, this is amazing. And then you feel really great about yourself.
Have you ever gone through one of your old notebooks and been like, oh my God, I did that. I did that.
But then don't you also go through stuff that you made like 12 years ago and you're like, what the?
Yes.
What the shit was I thinking?
Yes.
There's a few things. There's some custom things that I have like in old portfolios that I'm just like, oh, I thought this was good.
Yeah.
Like in 2005, I thought this was good. And it is not good.
Yeah. That sums up how I feel about all of my old things.
But stuff that I do now, I'm just like, oh, this is great. I actually, at Rohner, I just designed their like New Year's mailer.
Yes.
Which I totally put you on the mailing list. So you're yay! I'm actually going to put you on
the mailing list. I was so bummed that I didn't get last year.
Well, because, I mean, now that I'm like on the inside, I've found out like what their mailing situation is. And I'm like, are you not sending these to people that are not your clients? Like, you know what mailers are for, right? Like, you're supposed to send them to like everybody.
Right.
You're supposed to send them to people in your industry. You're supposed to send them to like tastemakers and people who have cool Instagram feeds and like people who write for magazines. Like, send them to everybody. And so we actually had a huge overage of this one. Like, we just kind of overproduced. And so I was like, I'm going to just add like 50 people to this list.
Awesome.
Are you cool with that? And he's like, do it, go. But like, once they came off press, like, I felt like they were cute when I was designing them.
Yeah.
And like, they were giving me good feedback. But then once they came off press, I was just like, and everyone just kind of looked at me like, calm down, lady. Like, yeah, they're cute. And I was like, no, these are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I at one point was like, you really should give me a raise. Like, these are so good, I should get a raise.
I love it.
And everyone's just like, you need to keep it.
I love it.
Like, yeah, they're fine. And I'm like, you just aren't as excited about it as I am. That's okay.
That makes me so happy when you have a project like that.
Yeah, when it all comes together and you're just like, oh, it's good, I like it, it's done. And it's also done. And you can feel relieved that it's done.
Right.
All right.
There's that.
Least favorite.
Uh-oh. Don't kick the
God.
Get it away from
them. I have to sit like this or my knee hurts.
So, least favorite.
Yeah.
It's probably bookkeeping.
Yep.
Like tax stuff.
Amen to that.
Oh my God. And also, negotiating leases.
Ugh.
It was horrible. Yeah, my last lease. We have a new management company that took over, and it was just mad news. So.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing that this exists where it is.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how long before I'm priced out of
before
this area.
Used to be.
Because, I mean, I've been here since 2009, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of before, it was way before Mariano's, and.
I'm sure they want this to be condos.
Probably.
Gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
But who wants to live so close to the train?
I mean, there are those new condos that went up right by the Polina.
Yeah, you're right.
Right there.
Up against it.
You can never have your windows open.
Right.
Never. I mean, hopefully if they're doing construction, they're doing some sort of sound.
Yeah.
You
mean,
I
hope so.
But
the ones, like, right along the tracks a little bit further.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's that building down on Irving Park that's literally between the Metra, and it's, like, sandwiched between the Metra and the L.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, no matter what balcony you're on, you're getting both trains both ways.
Yeah.
It's like, who brought a condo in there? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm missing it. I just wrote a bunch of stuff down. Okay, this is a fun one. Something you'd like to change or do better or stop doing this year? Any of those things? Like, all of those things?
Resolution-ish.
Kind of. Well, I mean, like, I feel like you're someone who has big, big plans, big ideas.
I do.
So.
Something I want to change this year. Well, I would like to spend more time designing. And so I recently just hired, it was Jen's apprentice, Jen sent her over to me to come and print for me one day a week. And that to me means 8 hours of amazing design time, just like experimenting incredible. On the computer. So that's one thing that I'm kind of changing. It was a big decision for me. Nobody's really printed on that press. Tom has before, and Tina, who used to work here, she did our wedding invitations on it, and a couple jobs, but really small jobs. Nobody's really
done production on it. Yeah.
So it's a big step, but I have high hopes for her. She's worked for Jen, who is a rock star.
Yeah, from Starship Press. Yes. For people that don't even have to remind ourselves when we're on.
Right.
But we just, like, start talking about somebody, and then they're like, oh, right, we're just talking about our cool friends and they things, but some
That's
people
right.
don't know who
That's
we're talking
right.
about.
If you're not on a first name
yes,
basis.
If you don't hang out with the coolest of the cool people in Chicago.
So that's one thing I want to change. What else was there?
I mean, change... do better or stop doing.
Oh, what do I want to stop doing? I feel like I do sometimes get caught up in the whole, am I doing this right? I guess I would say the more compare and despair, sitting on Instagram.
Oof, that's another good
and being comparitis. Like.
Yeah, I like
and being
despair.
Like,
there's
so many good things that I hadn't heard of. Everyone just tells us on the podcast.
So that
compare
and despair.
Spending time on Instagram, looking at people I admire, and being like, "Oh my God, why doesn't
I think
my
that
studio
that,
look
I think
like
that's
that?
Funny that you're saying that because I feel like one of the times that I've mentioned you on the podcast, we were talking about. Like, who do you look at and go, like, oh, I'm such a failure. Like, what is the point of me? And then I was like, I go to Amber's studio and I'm like, I'm a miserable fucking failure. It is literally always the case. You always will talk to that person, like this, someone that isn't your friend or that you just met. And then you find out that, like, they either literally think that of you. Or they are, like, despairing over some other person that they're, like, I'm a miserable failure. And then you're just like, oh, we're all second-guessing ourselves.
Well,
we're all, like, humble people who aren't just like, I got my shit together and I'm perfect and everybody else sucks. Like, nobody's like that,
even if
they look like they're like that.
Yeah.
Anytime you're creating something authentic and putting it out there,
you're gonna feel
vulnerable and have self-doubt.
And if you don't a little bit, you might be doing it wrong.
Right. Right.
You might be a bad person.
Maybe. So.
You might be a shitty person that maybe has an overinflated ego.
Maybe.
Right?
I think there are definitely people like that.
It's the Dunning-Kruger effect, which we've also talked about. Like, I'm awesome, and you're like, actually, you're not, though. I know that you think you are, but maybe calm down a little bit.
So, yes, that's a definite stop doing that.
Isn't it weird, though? I was thinking about this the other day, the compare and despair, the comparitis thing that we've talked about, like, when did that flip happen? Did Instagram do it? There was a flip where, like, it used to be inspiration.
And it still, and I've
you
been...
You used to feel very comfortable.
It still is.
Like, just getting inspiration, and nothing ever made you feel negative. You were just like, ooh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like the color of that for my kitchen. Or, like, it was just nice things. And now it's like, oh, I hate that bitch. Look at her fancy studio. Like, very negatively instead of comparing constructively.
Which I still do a lot of, like, you know, I look at some people's how many followers they have, or they're like, oh, we hit 5,000 followers. And I'm like, oh my God, that is amazing to know that somebody that started maybe even after me or you know, whatever has that, like, I find that very inspiring.
Yeah.
But I know that
also,
during December, when I had insomnia and I was basically caffeinating in the morning, alcohol at night, doing my my survival mode,
the roller coaster that you do,
my no self-care,
yeah.
And then I'm seeing these things, those are the times where I'm like, what am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, so I think, yeah, that's a definitely stop that shit.
We've got to stop that.
We've got to stop it. How do we stop it? Is there a pill we can take?
I have found myself. I have found myself lately.
A spray.
I want everything in spray form now.
Listen, Zach,
you
got
to talk to Tom.
Spray.
Oh yeah.
He's always talking about. So when Scooby does anything wrong, we squirt him with a spray bottle, and he told me to start like.
And
shows
first.
And stuff. If somebody says, "Why is this $5?"
Yeah. Oh my god, that'd be amazing. Maybe that can be a show.
We do
of hands
have
product.
A water
brand
bottle.
It, and
a
everybody
squirt
gets a
bottle.
Water bottle. It's got like aromatherapy in it. Calm down.
We keep a water bottle on our deck, and Steve sprays the squirrels with it.
Yep. So
it's just fun thing.
Tom
so okay,
wants to
so
use
now
it
we
to
need
correct any bad behavior.
Any behavior.
So a thing that attaches to your phone, so that when you're on Instagram, it sprays you.
It sprays you.
You're looking at Instagram and you're like having thoughts, and it just goes, and then you're like scrolls, keep scrolling, just keep scrolling.
I have heard of people having like a rubber band.
Oh yeah,
and when they do something, they don't.
Like, yes, that's for there's a lot of like compulsive disorders that are treated with that, where it's like supposed to refocus your
even like attention. Habits you want to break. I have heard people doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing I did, which has actually helped me surprisingly, it doesn't help so much with the comparing, but it does limit my time comparing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I got that app that records how long you're on your phone.
Oh God, yeah.
And I mean, it's alarming how early on when I got the app, how much I was on the phone, and now I'm down to like some days it's like 45 minutes.
Isn't that amazing?
And like a whole
I love
day.
That.
And it's and literally the time on my phone is me posting things to Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even me sitting looking,
scrolling.
But it comes every 15 minutes of logged time that you're on the phone, a little drop down comes down and says, hey,
get that app.
Like, by the way, you've been on your phone for an hour and 15 minutes. And I'm like, ooh, time to be done with it today.
What's the name of that app?
I'm totally not going to remember.
Okay. Well, just let me know. I'm going to put it on Tom's phone too, because he's a Facebooker.
I want to. I will not remember, and I don't have my phone next to me to look at it. But
it's okay.
We'll post it on the Instagram.
Sure.
Awesome.
But it's been helpful. Yeah. You're
yeah.
like, sure we will.
Sure,
sure we'll
remember
more
to do
time.
That. Say that we will, and then we won't.
It'd be funny if
and no
like,
one will care.
All of a sudden tons of people actually listen to this
and then
someone
we have
put
to
together
things.
A list of all the things
the show
we
notes.
Said we were supposed to do. And well by that point we'll have an intern that will like
there you go.
Take notes for us and like be like, oh, Emily just
I
said
think
that
that's
we're
all
post
I really
this.
Want is an intern.
Is an intern?
Yeah.
They're pretty magical.
I
if you
get
a good
probably
one.
Get an intern.
I've had some really
easily.
Good ones. Yeah.
I feel like at this point I would just feel like, are we giving an intern enough
to do?
Like,
I don't know.
Experience
I
that it's
idea.
Important. Or would they be like, this is fine and great and you guys are nuts. This is the easiest internship I've ever had with college students and recent graduates who are like, hi, I need some shit to do.
Yeah.
Put on my resume. Like Steve.
Could be like, like Steve.
Who left? Who was like, this is dumb and boring.
No, he was drinking with Josh.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Where'd
they go?
Did they like
Instagram,
message each other?
Yeah.
Our husbands communicate with one another without
apparently.
Our knowledge?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's new. they might as well.
Right?
I mean,
right?
Seems like
they're
long overdue.
A friendship.
They're both like, these bitches are. I think that they should have like a counter. So
right.
I think it would be amazing.
I think we could do. Oh, what if we? No, I'm not gonna say it. I don't have a pencil.
Write
okay.
it down. Amber will give you a pencil.
But I've got such a good idea.
Everyone's wondering what your idea is.
No.
Know.
No. Okay.
Do you have any more
Keep
questions
talking.
For Amber?
No. no, that was it.
I like that we're
that
like, we do
that
this a lot.
It.
We figure out our own shit, even when
All
we
right.
have a guest that we're interviewing.
We're always. always in planning mode.
We are like nearing an hour.
Okay.
So we should, I think we should at some point talk about sales reps.
Okay.
The goods and bads and trade shows. How many trade shows have you done? Jesus.
Only two.
Okay.
I've only done, I did the stationery show twice.
Yeah.
I did it in 2006 and 2008, and both times were the most miserable experiences of my life. Javits Center. George Little Management. Like, Jesus Christ.
Do you do trade shows regularly?
I used to.
You have reps now that I have do trade shows, which seems like the golden, magical thing for...
It is.
No? Yes?
I mean, think about it. When you have your own booth, like...
You're representing your brand really directly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus,
so,
yeah.
You're getting, you know, five figures in sales and going home and fulfilling those.
And being sick.
When... But you're spending.
Yes.
Almost.
And you're standing
and
there
it's your
in that
time.
Horrible
yeah,
place
true.
With all those
yeah.
horrible
true.
People talking. Oh my God. I mean, it.
But,
like, just to give people an idea, if you do craft shows and you go to craft shows and you think every, like, one out of 150 people say some dumb shit to you, if you go to a trade show, it is 98 out of 100 people say some dumb shit to you.
There's
like,
a few.
Where they question your pricing, they question your line, they question what your cards say, they tell you what they should say instead of what they do say, they tell you that if you did X, Y, and Z, then they might buy something from you. Shit, like just dumb shit that you're like, really? Is this how you talk to, is this work for you?
Yeah.
Like, are you getting business by talking to people like this? And then it's all because you're kind of at their beck and call. Like, you don't have any power in that place. Like, you're the little vendor who's like, please, someone order something
right.
for me. But yeah, I've only had really terrible. I don't know that I would ever. I can't imagine a scenario where I would do my own booth at a trade show like yeah. that at like the gift
I've
show.
Had good luck with
yeah
shows. Yeah,
and I will also say, I could see it being much better when you have a. I had like no card line.
Yeah.
Which I think is obviously my mistake. Like, if you go and you have 30 items, like, that's not, you're not, even just, like, sheer numbers are not going to happen for you.
Right,
but
right.
But if you have 150 items,
yes.
then
I mean,
it's like, yeah, fill the
so
wall.
So why don't you do them as much anymore?
It's
then?
Just such an expense.
Okay.
So I've kind of, it has gotten to the point where I'm like, well, I have a rep.
Mm-hmm.
It does two a year. Do I need?
Yeah, do you need to go as your own?
I did go to Atlanta last year to walk the show.
Okay.
With my, I went like as a buyer's assistant.
That
or
one seems to be getting.
Yeah.
Been, yeah.
I'm hearing
yeah.
more things about
and
it.
And I do feel like if, I say if, when I'm ready to go back and do shows, I'll probably start there just to see.
Yeah.
But I waited many years before I did the show. Like, I went as a buyer.
Yeah.
I went, like, twice to stationery show as a buyer for Paperboy. And then I went with another company, with my teacher's company.
Yeah.
She launched a line.
Yeah.
And I sold at the show. So I went in.
Yeah, you kind of eased into it.
Everything kind of built up to that. Yeah. It was kind of a natural progression. And I had built up a solid line. I think I launched at the show with like 80 SKUs or something.
Yeah.
And I also got a mentor. They had a mentor program.
Oh.
And it, yeah, it was Brad Woods from
was
Imagining.
This the name? So this was the gift show or the stationery
show? No, stationery show. I did
okay.
gift show too.
Yeah.
I did the last, before it was New York Now, I did the last New York International Gift Fair.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did the gift show. It was good.
Yeah.
It was the first year they had this, like, new to the show section.
Yeah.
And I was shoved, like, way in the back across from a guy that had a double booth selling nothing but shark teeth.
The gift show is the best
it was
thing in the
fascinating.
Whole world. Because, like,
it was fascinating.
Yeah, like, and then it, I always feel like, especially the gift show, like the stationery show is kind of like,
you know what you're
doing. Okay, there's a bunch of cards. Some of them are garbage. There's a bunch of amazing stuff that you're just
yes.
like, whoa, there are some creative people in the world.
Yeah.
But then the gift show is such a hodgepodge
oh
of
my God.
Just things that you're like, people are going to buy this?
Yeah.
Like, this is a product?
Well, and think about, like, the stationery show. people from the dollar store have to buy their cards somewhere. Yep,
that's right.
And their stickers and their scrapbooking supplies.
Yeah,
and
anything that's like even tangentially related.
So you have to be so specific about your placement and where you're going to be. And I say make as many special requests as you can to make sure your booth is
in a good space. And they are clever about like locking you in to things where they're like, if you get a booth space and you want it, minute you leave, they're like, hi, are you coming back next time? Because you don't say you are now and give us money right now, this booth will be someone else's.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit. Like, great. Well, I guess I'll decide right now. Like, because otherwise I might be, you know, in a booth with a giant pole in it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back corner. Yeah. I was in a booth where the electricity was out for 4 hours of the second day.
Ugh.
And nothing, they did not care. They didn't care, they didn't reimburse anybody's money, they didn't say they were sorry, they didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
It was just, we were in darkness. They didn't care.
We had people across from us at the first stationery show, and it was raining in their booth.
It leaks. It did rain in our booth.
Paper and rain do not.
No!
It was so, I felt horrible.
We were like back by the loading dock for the first show, and we were in this weird corner where like the workmen kept using our booth as like the access. They had built like an access to go around our booths. Like they made a hallway on purpose to be like, this is where the workmen are going to go. But the workmen like decided that because we didn't have hard walls and the door was right there behind our booth, that they were just going to go through our booth.
No.
And we finally had to have words. And that was when the one union worker told Josh to like, quote unquote, get his woman in check.
What?
And Josh said, well, she's the boss, so whatever she says is what you're going to do. And the guy was just like, a woman is telling you what to do? No, thank you. Like, it was terrible. It was one of the most, like, stereotypical, gross union worker situations we'd ever, I mean, and to this day, Josh and I joke about it and make comments about, like, the stuff that they said, where we're just like, aw, that's so, so adorable to be such a piece of garbage.
Yikes.
But yeah, trade shows are tough. They're tough.
It's
so much money
it is.
Just for the booth
it
fee.
Is.
And then you don't think about, like, especially the shows in New York. If the same exact show was in Chicago, it'd be a whole different story.
Right. You have
because
a hotel
have, right,
for at least
no flights,
two people.
No
you
hotel,
have
no
three
food,
square meals.
Cab rides.
For three people.
Like, depending on if you get, and then in New York, if you get a cheaper hotel, it's probably farther away.
Right.
And then that means $50 cab rides.
Yeah.
Both ways every day.
Yeah, I think.
Like, it's such an amazing, like, I remember after the second one, I, like, went through the numbers and was like, I just spent $8,000.
That's what we did, I think, the first
and
time.
And
the
at
first
that
year.
Point,
yeah.
At that point, the booth, I think, that year that I did it was, like, not even $2,000.
No, they
like,
were cheap.
They were cheap compared to now.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? And it was miserable. Like, it wasn't like we stayed in a nice hotel and ate out every night. Like, we were literally, like, going to the bodega and getting grocery food to eat in our hotel room to save money.
Yeah.
And then we were walking to the Javits instead of taking cabs. And, like, pinching pennies, and I still spent $8,000.
We
and then made, like, four and a half. Like, that, it was just like, what was the point of this?
Yeah.
It was terrible.
I feel like you don't actually make all your money back, or you don't make profit until you get the reorders.
Yes, you have
from
to
make,
yes.
Store,
and that's the thing that reorders in your binder, but
it's easy
it would
to
be
spend
way better.
$10,000. Because you have catalogs, you have product launches,
you
have walls.
You gotta pay the union worker to give you an extension cord and plug
electric.
It in for you.
Yeah.
To pay him $95 to touch the extension cord.
It's true.
You're not allowed to touch it because it's union.
It's crazy.
It's terrible.
But they're also amazing, or I think they're amazing too, because you get like one-on-one
time with your
customers.
That's the thing, like, I've heard, like, I think that it's another thing, just like what we're talking about with Etsy. It's like, if you commit to it and full on and don't try to, like, skimp and be like, we're just going to try this and maybe it won't work. Like, if you do it with intention, it can really, and I think the people that do it repeatedly do the best. Because, like, they've got a system, they have a booth display, that they understand how things work, they understand what the budget's going to be. They understand how much manpower is involved.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're doing it every year and your store owners start expecting you to be there, then you're going to benefit way more from it than if you're just like, maybe I'll try this once and then never do it again.
Right, right.
Like me.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're, I mean, it's tricky. I mean, even the one-of-a-kind show that's not a trade show, that's a direct-to-customer mm-hmm. situation, is still, like, for a lot of people, such an investment. Mm. So much time
it
and
is.
Money and booth setup and getting that amount of product ready. And, like, some people
that is a long
come
show.
Away with, like, barely breaking even, and then other people are like, wait a minute, I made $20,000. You're like, shit, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How did you do that? So,
yeah,
it all depends on, yeah, it's a lot of work. But then you have to think, like, how else am I going to get my stuff out there? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a way
well,
to, that's a way
it
to
is.
Do it. That's
sales
way
reps.
Yeah.
Yeah,
did you
want to
do pros and cons of sales reps?
That could
quick,
be a whole
quick
other episode.
Quick 5 minutes. Yeah, it should probably be a whole other episode.
Yeah.
I guess you're doing another.
I mean.
I can write down sales reps.
Yeah.
In my.
In zone. Your episode, future
yeah.
episode list.
Yep.
Future episode.
Michelle's so much more organized than I am.
Really not.
Me with my empty notebook that has nothing on it.
We balance each other
sales
out that way,
reps.
Right?
It's fine. We work, figured out. What else?
I mean.
Advertising. Marketing, accounting.
Marketing and advertising
and Etsy,
are the
we
same
did
thing.
Etsy. No,
yeah.
they're not.
They aren't?
Advertising and marketing are the same thing. I was thinking more PR.
Oh. Isn't that marketing?
Mm, I think it's different.
Everyone email us whether or not advertising
and
marketing
oh,
and
different. Actually, when I wrote down advertising, I think I meant, like doing ads on,
like
paid
Facebook. Advertising?
Yeah, paid advertising,
yeah.
like Google Ads.
Mm-hmm.
And
it.
Yeah, sorry.
Be clear in your notes that I'm not that I'm looking at over your shoulder.
Yeah,
right,
so
that I can know what's happening. Yeah, I like
yeah.
it. You gotta keep lists. Yeah, I feel like it's always a thing where it's nice to know that people who have been in business a million years are still like, I don't have it all figured out. It's not
yeah.
super easy every day. Some things are really great and streamlined, and other things come out of nowhere and are like, this is a nightmare. Like,
mm-hmm.
like dealing with your lease and,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I think that helps people realize
oh,
that, like, you're not alone. Like, just because you're new or just because you've been in business for 20 years and you feel like you're struggling, like, we're all
yeah,
kind of in the same boat
it's
a lot of times.
It's a daily grind.
Yeah.
It's not all
yeah.
rainbows and
right.
unicorns.
It's not all, like, coming in and, like, taking Instagram photos
no.
and, like...
No.
It looks like it.
It does
though.
Look like
this
it
is
in
so
for sure.
Like,
it's like a magical
yeah.
wonderland of letterpress
it
paper ephemera.
It looks like you have your shit together. For sure.
Fake it till you make it. Fake it even after you've made it.
Right.
Keep fake, just keep faking
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Well,
or what's the product? Don't let them see you sweat. Is that deodorant or something? Some deodorant.
Oh, yeah. That was... What
some
was
ladies
that?
Deodorant.
Was that
wasn't
Secret?
That?
Never let them see
never,
you sweat.
Never let them see you sweat. gross. That's so sexy.
I don't
the worst thing you could possibly have is an armpit stain. Gross woman. Be embarrassed.
That's right.
By your bodily function.
You guys listen. You don't sweat.
You got off track.
Yeah. We probably need to get ready for the heater.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yes. And we've got a good... And the heater just came on here.
Yeah.
It's our nemesis.
I kind
of like that voice.
Well, I think that we probably should have, we should make sure that we have another episode with Amber in the future. I think it'll be good. We could maybe do a sales rep episode with you. Since
yeah.
I'm like, I don't have a sales rep. I kind of, they scare the shit out of me. We'll have Amber tell us all about it. But yeah, then... And we'll do, I think this episode will probably go up after the
oh,
one
yeah.
we're about
after,
to record.
Yeah.
yeah.
So
we,
whenever.
Time travel.
We're doing time traveling. That's what happens.
I like time travel.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
So, all right. Well,
awesome. Well,
thank you.
Yes.
Thank you
for having us.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for hosting our meetup.
I'm honored that you guys wanted to interview
thanks for being
me.
Awesome
so thank you.
And
you guys
awesome
too.
Shit.
Yeah. I love that you guys are putting yourself out there.
That's what
I try to pretend
it's
that
nice.
Nothing I say actually is being recorded and put out there.
And that no one's listening to
yeah.
us.
That's
what we
fine.
Like to think,
that's
no
fine.
One cares.
It
no
works.
One's listening. Yeah.
It's kind of like a virtual mastermind. You know,
yeah.
those people that meet up and talk about business. It's
I
kind
think
of
that's
fun.
Yeah, that's totally what
so,
yeah.
I love it.
That's
so thank
actually,
you.
That was the plan.
That's the plan. Yeah. We've accomplished our goal.
You're doing well.
Let's end it now. Last episode. We hit the pin. Well, so if people want to find Amber, afavoritedesign.com is your website.
Yep.
You can order all sorts of stuff. If you're a store owner, you can contact her about wholesale goodies.
Yes.
And then you, every once in a while, have events. Here,
yeah.
Pop-ups and events
and
holiday parties and stuff like that.
Yeah, we do. So follow us on Instagram.
And get on the mailing list and all that good stuff.
Yep, for sure.
And anything else you want to say?
I need a snack.
Jill needs a snack. She probably needs to pee.
Yes, that too.
Yeah, I know.
Get a refill on tea.
And then obviously you can find us always on PancakeTown, the podcast. And on iTunes and all that jazz. What else? We're at 5,500 downloads right now.
Ooh,
we're
that's
a
amazing.
Little over 5,500 downloads.
I think I subscribed before you even had, like...
The count going?
Yeah. Well, it was, like, the first episode. You were like, it just dropped. And I was like, subscribe.
Aww, we need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're on iTunes, we still like having iTunes. Feedback.
Yeah.
iTunes ratings.
Yes.
Because why not?
Rating, they're not rating reviews.
They're not writing reviews.
Yeah,
they're just
not really.
Stars.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Use your words, people. Use your words.
Right.
Tell us what you think. Just be like, these ladies are hilarious. 5 stars. Just do that. There, I gave it to you. You don't even have to.
I keep thinking I'm going to learn something.
Because you have to remember everybody. I keep thinking one day they're going to tell me something that's important. That's a good review.
End with the train going.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah.
Do we have to sit here in silence until the train goes by again? That seems embarrassing. No, let's just say goodbye. Let's let everyone off the hook here. No, we're going to wait.
We're just really, like, out of it. I need that snack.
Okay. Michelle's got to get a snack, people. It's time to go. Okay, bye.
Bye.